It is not easy to keep up with all the twists and turns of another turbulent week in the Trump presidency. But to help make sense of it all, joining us are Shields and Brooks, that is syndicated columnist Mark Shields and New York Times columnist David Brooks. Hello to both of you.
Judy.
So it's been a tumultuous week. At the beginning of the week, President Trump, David basically says to Turkey, we're getting U.S. troops out of the way in Syria. The Turks have gone in. They are going after the Kurds, who were American allies. But just in the last day or so, the president has said, but don't go too far to Turkey. What are we to make of all this?
Welcome in, but we don't want you there. It's incoherence. It's complete incoherence. I think Donald Trump, the logical thing is Donald Trump spoke to somebody on the phone. He made a decision. It was a terrible decision, an immoral decision, and just bad for our foreign policy. I mean, who's going to fight ISIS or IS if we're out? Who's going to guard the 10,000 prisoners who we've been relying on the Kurds to guard? And the Kurds are going to turn to Russia or Iran or somebody, and so it'll further strengthen Russia and Iran. So it's a terrible decision. And then they get a little bad publicity, the administration does. And so then Mnuchin and various other people in the administration come out and say, oh, this is terrible. And so it's not a foreign policy. It's a foreign policy by what Donald Trump's latest emotion is.
Is it a foreign policy, Mark?
Yeah, no, Judy, it's absolutely incoherent. What I would add to David's analysis, which I agree with, is that he did it after being played by Mr. Erdogan, the president of Turkey. He once again succumbed to either the blandishments or the muscles of strongmen. He cannot stand up to strongmen. He did it without any warning to the Kurds. The Turks knew about it. But the Kurds didn't, 11,000 of whom gave their lives shoulder to shoulder with the United States and against ISIS. It's rather remarkable. Then the president, in probably a new flight of fatuousness, said, well, the Kurds hadn't been there at Normandy. So today we sent 3,000 American troops to Saudi Arabia, who, of course, on the beaches of Normandy played such a major part. And we find out that
saving Private Ahmed, I remember.
That's exactly right. it isn't incoherence. It is foolishness, and it is dangerous, and it's recklessness, and I feel for the country.
And David, in terms of the congressional reaction, it's not just Democrats but Republicans who are really upset about this. How do we read this political reaction?
Yeah, Lindsey Graham, Mitch McConnell, pretty much up and down the line. And I think there are a couple things. First, it's easy to part with Donald Trump on something like Kurds. Mm-hmm. It's a lot different than impeachment. It doesn't arouse the tribal passions of red versus blue. Second, it may help Donald Trump in the long run when the time comes, whether you're to stand with Trump or not on impeachment, a Republican senator say, I'm perfectly independent of Trump, but didn't you hear what I just said about Kurdistan? And so in some sense, it may rebound back and make it a little easier, marginally easier, for some Republicans to side with Trump when it comes to the impeachment.
I'm not sure it'll make it easier because I think, Judy, events are happening so fast right now that it might be a tough vote to vote against impeachment. Certainly, if we have another week like this week, Republicans who are back in their district coming back to Washington next Monday. And I don't think there's any question that the president's position has deteriorated in that week.
And I want to ask you about that, but just quickly in terms of Turkey
As far as the Republicans, I agree with David. It doesn't involve his behavior. It doesn't involve his character or his conduct. That is off ground. I mean, Mitt Romney made a criticism of the president's position as far as China was concerned and asking them and investigate Joe Biden. He called him a pompous ass. That's a way of saying that the base will come after you if you criticize me. And I agree, he depersonalizes the criticism of the Kurds.
Well, you both are talking about impeachment. It is the 1,000-pound gorilla in the room right now. David, a lot of events this week. Today, you had the behind-closed-doors testimony of the former ambassador, Yovanovitch, who said the president personally was trying to get rid of her. You had you've had a number of subpoenas go out and requests that basically the administration is saying no to. Yesterday, you had two associates of Rudy Giuliani, the president's lawyer arrested for campaign finance law violations. Does this impeachment process, does it look stronger, as Mark is saying, at the end of the week, or what? I mean,
Yeah, for sure. It doesn't look weaker. I mean, every day it's a blizzard of something. The Yovanovitch thing today, it made me think, like, how many other people are involved in this? Because to fire an ambassador, you can't just do it president to ambassador. The whole senior echelon of the State Department has to be involved in some way in the firing of a credible, competent ambassador for political reasons. I mean, how often does that happen with no resignations? In a normal administration, you get a bunch of resignations if that would ever happen, which it wouldn't. So to me, I mean, Mark directed our attention to the right thing, the blizzard. It's like a blizzard of things. And how does that affect the mood? Affect the mood? It's clearly solidified Democrats behind impeachment. It's clearly moved independents toward it.
Right.
Has it cracked the red wall and affected Republicans? And so far, I don't see that. So far, when you look at the conservative press, the conservative talking, the polls, the Republicans are not moving. And they have to move, because you have to lose 20 Republicans. And so you would really have to have a very split Republican Party, 50-50 on impeachment. And so far, I don't see that happening. But that's not to say it couldn't.
In fact, we can quickly show a couple of polls. Mark, shift in support overall is just within the margin of error, 49-52 over the course of 2 weeks. But when you look at independent voters, as David was just suggesting, it's a 10-point shift in favor of an inquiry. We're still not talking about impeachment, removing the president. We're talking about the inquiry. But what does it look like to you? I mean, is this significant that we're seeing?
There's no, well, I think the polls can't keep up with the events. Events are very much in the saddle. I mean, we recall what the defense was of the president's call to the president of Ukraine. The president, it turned out, was a closet reformer. He was just out to, you know, dig out corruption. Well, you know, the corruption that's turned up now are two of Rudy Giuliani's associates in this whole imbroglio, which I think is significant because the indictment was announced by the U.S. attorney, a Trump appointee, a Republican, Jeffrey Berman, Southern District of New York, and the director of the FBI, William Sweeney, in the New York office. And the U.S. attorney went out of his way to congratulate and thank each of the FBI agents. Why is that significant? Because one of the criticisms from stalwarts of the president off and on, like Ron Johnson, the senator from Wisconsin, is that somehow the FBI and the CIA are faulty in this whole thing. That, Judy, I don't think there's any question that we've gone from that to the president was just kidding about China. We know he's renowned for his one-liners, which you could write on the back of a first-class stamp, the totality of them. I mean, it's a tissue of lies, all of which is collapsing. And as one leading Republican said to me just before the show, there is nothing in here that's good news. And what I'm worried about now are retirements. You'll start to see retirements among Republicans as they come back from the break.
And there have already been a number of Republicans.
But that doesn't mean they're breaking. Even Lamar Alexander, who's retiring, senator from Tennessee, is not breaking.
On the question of the inquiry.
I'll be willing to bet you on the number of Republicans in the House who'll vote for it.
That could be in the House. Yeah. That could be. But you've got to have mass defection. And you've got to have basically two things. One, it's got to really penetrate into the popular mind. A lot of these things are very little things that are in D.C. That's low information voters, normal people, normal human beings are not paying this close attention.
I agree. And
then you've got to undo the basic bargain that a lot of Republicans did. This guy's a snake, but my life is going bad. My community is going bad. He was a snake when I signed on. He's still a snake, but my essential bargain still holds. And so far, I don't see a lot of Republicans saying, I'm going to undo that bargain.
Well, meanwhile, there is a race for the Democratic nomination for President, Mark. You still have almost 18, 19 Democrats in the race. There's going to be another debate next week.
Right.
We have learned in the last week, Bernie Sanders still not out on the campaign trail after the heart attack that he had, and he is starting to talk to the press a little bit. But does all of this focus on impeachment, does it work to the Democrats' benefit or not? Because we still don't know who the Democratic nominee is going to be.
No, we don't know, and we don't know what influence this will have upon it, Judy. I mean, the Democrats better just confront the reality that they're about defeating Donald Trump. And the old aphorism is Republicans fall in line, Democrats fall in love. That's necessary for the candidates. So just historically, Republicans have nominated the next in line, next to whose turn it was. And Democrats can't afford just a flight of passion in 2020. They better pick somebody, if they're really interested in defeating Donald Trump, someone who is not going to become the issue himself or herself in that campaign. And I think that's a concern for Democrats at this point, especially as impeachment becomes larger.
Who would that be? Who you're referring to?
Far be it from me to say. I'd say Bennett or Bullock right now. If you're looking for people who have good records and have won in purple or red states,
I think impeachment overshadows the campaign in the extreme. I mean, we're barely talking about the campaign in the last few weeks, and this impeachment is going to go on through New Hampshire and Iowa and South Carolina and maybe California. So it's going to overshadow the campaign, and I think that benefits the front runners, the Bidens and the Warrens, because it's super hard. It's hard for the front runners to get attention now. If you're in the middle pack, if you're in Cory Booker, Kamala Harris, or Pete Buttigieg, it's super hard to get attention. And it seems to me it makes it just much, much harder to shake up the race.
I would remind that the only nominees have either finished in the top three in Iowa or the top two in New Hampshire. That's how important those two states are. I don't think there's any question about it. And I think that's central to this choice. I mean, as far as it's going, those are political universes unto themselves. And I don't think it really does freeze the race there. I think it dominates the dialogue and the debate, certainly nationally.
But in just less than a minute that we have left of it, how do these Democrats distinguish themselves from one another?
Well, think of what we were talking about 3 weeks ago. We were talking about single payer versus other things. We were having the debates that the Democrats were having on policy, and now that's all been sucked up by Adam Schiff, Nancy Pelosi, the congressional Democrats. And so I think it does deteriorate the quality of the presidential debate, though they can't distinguish themselves on impeachment. It's like, I'm against that, too. I mean, I'm for that, too.
And they're all for that.
And I would say that Biden's been given the greatest gift. I mean, because Biden can make the case that, look, Donald Trump put at risk his own presidency. He's risked impeachment because he was so worried, so concerned, and so scared of me that he went to the president of
you think it helps Biden?
Well, if Biden plays it right, I mean, who does Donald Trump? You've got the evidence right there. Donald Trump was terrified of Joe Biden because he wants to find information. He's trying to go to China. He's sending Bill Barr around the world. He's got Rudy Giuliani talking to everybody out of Goodfellas. I mean, that's the case he ought to be making.
Biden has helped.
I think so. Also, in the way that it freezes the race, I think it does freeze the race. So he's on top with Warren right now.
All right, we're going to leave it there. David Brooks, Mark Shields, thank you.